Hello and welcome back to Spinal Cast. I'm your host, David Stevens, and joining us today is Brian Everett. Brian is the Chief Executive Officer of Mobility Works, an organization dedicated to providing wheelchair users with the mobility, independence, and freedom that they desire. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, David. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, in today's episode, I think what we really would like to do is gain a little bit of insight into your own personal perspective on the mobility industry, but also learning a little bit more about Mobility Works and what it is you and your team are doing to, you know, provide greater accessibility to those living with disabilities. And I mean, if that sounds all right to you, we'll just jump straight into questions.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, perfect. This is so easy so far. Well, awesome. So first and foremost, if you wouldn't mind, can we get a little background on, you know, what is Mobility Works and what it is that you and your team does?
Yeah, absolutely. So Mobility Works, we are the largest provider of wheelchair accessible vehicles, which is in the industry referred to as a WAV, wheelchair accessible vehicle, and related products, services in the country.
Okay.
So we are the largest provider. We work with a range of clients from coast to coast, spanning all different backgrounds and age groups and disease states and disability states. And in addition to the wheelchair accessible vehicles, we operate a manufacturing division. So we have 100 provider locations from coast to coast on the,
wow,
the dealer side or the provider side. And then we have 10 locations where we actually manufacture and upfit vehicles. And then we also do some home accessibility products. So think stair lifts and ramps and those sort of things.
Got it.
Based in just outside of Cleveland, Ohio is our home base.
Awesome. So when you say manufacturing, do you manufacture the parts that go into the lifts themselves in the vehicle? Or are you sourcing the lifts and then manufacturing the lifts to the vehicle, basically?
Yeah, good question. So at the provider location, we install all the equipment. So think the van comes with the lift pre-installed from one of our supplier partners.
Okay.
And we do the final fitting for, you know, hand controls and turning seats and, you know, other equipment that's needed by a client.
Mm-hmm.
At our upfitting facilities, we actually cut floors, lower floors, install new floors with your rear entry or side entry ramps.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do a tremendous amount of commercial business, which is, you know, think of if you're on a shuttle somewhere at the Disney World or at,
yeah,
a hotel chain and you see a wheelchair lift, you know, we do a lot of those products where we put in a new subfloor, we add a lift that we, again, purchase from an industry leader partner. And then we customize the outfit for the specific customer. In the taxi, we do a lot of wheelchair accessible taxis at our upfitting centers. So you'll see those,
yeah,
around the countries as well.
Very cool. So I think, you know, some of the audience might be wondering how you got connected with MCPF in the first place. I know, you know, our executive director, Peter Morton, and you have a bit of a relationship. So can you kind of delve into how did you get connected with MCPF?
Yeah, absolutely. So I spent the vast majority of my career in retail.
Okay.
Working for large, well-known retailers across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 10 years or so really focused in healthcare, in the pharmacy and clinic space. And I had an opportunity to come to Mobility Works in 2020. And that's the year I met Peter.
Okay.
So a friend of mine, a colleague, a former colleague, who I knew and worked with and respected a great deal, Steve Carter, reached out to me when I joined Mobility Works and said, hey, I think you need to meet Peter Morton and, you know, hear his story. And so I did that in 2020, met Peter, and, you know, was really inspired not only by his story, but his work.
Yeah.
And the work of his mission and the team. And so we've been friends, I guess, now for 4 years. We kind of, I think, helped sponsor some aspects of the golf tournament back there in Minnesota.
Awesome.
And have just, you know, just grown to really respect the work that's being done and Peter himself as an individual.
Fantastic. Well, and we just recently published an episode with Steve Carter and his sister, actually, on our show as well. So that's, you know, small world type of thing, but that's very cool. So you kind of mentioned this a little bit in that answer, but, you know, transitioning from retail sales or retail as a whole, and then kind of into the medical side of things. But what brought you into mobility? Like, why mobility works in the first place?
I get that question a lot. I've been very blessed in my career, and I've had the opportunity to work with, you know, incredible, you know, companies, incredible people, and, you know, really experience a lot of like professional development as a leader. And when I had the opportunity to do something different, you know, I'd been probably 30 years into my career now, I guess this year. You know, 5 years ago, I said I'd like to do something that is a little more of a mission, purpose-driven calling. And I have a love for automotive engineering and always have. I grew up in a GM family. My dad worked for General Motors. And I really had this need to serve and to help others. And so I, you know, met with the Mobility Works team and got connected with the founder, a great man who is has, you know, become a great mentor to me through that process. And, you know, that was, I guess, about 5 years ago now. So it's been a really rewarding and challenging part of my career, but it's been for sure the most enjoyable.
Well, awesome. Is there anything specific that you would say makes it more important, or is it more so just the ability to, you know, fall in love with your work, but also know that your work is doing good? You know, kind of what makes it so important, I guess?
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, we all have stories of friends and family members who, you know, have mobility limitations. My mom has MS, and, you know, she's not in a chair, but she definitely has mobility limitations from time to time. And, you know, just the mission was very important to me. We do a lot of work with veterans. And so I think I kind of got bit by it, and the opportunity to take some of the skills and experiences I've learned and had over the years in my professional career and apply them to an industry where we really are changing people's lives every single day. A lot of companies say that, but I get to live it every single day. And we have an incredible, you know, team at our company that, you know, tirelessly works to help provide people with more mobility. And so it's just really rewarding. It's challenging, but you get to change the lives and, you know, tens of thousands of people and families every single day when you come to work.
Yeah, no, that's certainly a rewarding aspect of the job, to say the least. You know, you talk a lot about all of these different, you know, I guess, products or services that Mobility Works offers and how you bring those to your customers. But how are you able to ensure that, you know, the products and services that you're providing are addressing all of the needs that people living with disabilities might have? Are you constantly iterating, looking for new opportunities, new lines of business? Kind of what is your approach to that?
That's an important question, David. You have to listen. You know, we spend a lot of our time listening to our clients, and there's a lot of similarity in different needs of various clients, but every need is a little bit different. So you just listen and, you know, ask for feedback, solicit feedback, ask for ways to make the interaction with, you know, our company and our products and our people more seamless, less friction in the interaction, whether that's, you know, improved digital capabilities or, you know, I'll give you a great example. We had a lot of people saying, hey, I can't get up my stairs. Like, can you guys help me with that? And so a couple of years ago, we started looking into the stair lift and vertical platform lift and accessible ramp business. And so we've been able to add some products and services to our portfolio, really just by listening to what our clients need and trying to innovate and create products and services that they need and that they would help them in their journey.
What would you say are the biggest barriers then that are still not necessarily being met for people who are living with disabilities? Do you feel like we're only scratching the surface of kind of the services that you can provide, or, you know, where are we drawing short still?
I mean, listen, it's the nature of this business is you know, it's a need. It's not a want. No, nobody says when they're a little kid, I hope to own a wheelchair van someday.
Right.
Right. Unless they're in a wheelchair as a little kid.
Yeah.
Right. It's a non-discretionary purchase. Right. And so it's not something that you desire to have, but it's something that you need. And we think of it like a needed piece of medical equipment. That said, a lot of our business is paid for by the client. It's not covered through insurance or other programs. Mm-hmm. There are programs that help offset some of the costs, but the short answer is the affordability is the number one barrier. There are a lot of people who would like to have a personal wheelchair, you know, accessible vehicle that can't afford it. And so we spend a lot of time working with clients on ways to finance, sourcing used products that are, you know, at a better price point, maybe, or a lower price point. Mm-hmm. We have a very large rental fleet, so you may not be able to own one, but if you want to rent a van a couple times a month or, you know, a few months a year, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
And so it's really thinking about how do you, you know, how do you provide this, you know, I hate to say even luxury, this basic mode of transportation to people when the affordability is the biggest challenge. So we spend a lot of our time thinking about that barrier. The second thing is I think a lot of people, this will sound like the opposite of that answer, but a lot of people don't realize that they can get a personal wheelchair accessible vehicle, right? They think of it as I've got to take a commercial solution or a service that comes and picks me up. And, you know, when you think about the cost and the ways to, you know, structure the cost of one of these vehicles, there really is a lot of avenues to get people into the product. So some of it's affordability, some of it's education. And I would say we have to continue to help provide as many solutions as we can for those in need.
Absolutely. Well, and that's, you know, it's an interesting thing to bring up too, because a lot of these people are all in, at least in the, you know, spinal cord injury space, they're all in custom chairs. Mm-hmm. And those chairs are not cheap.
That's right.
And all of a sudden these costs start adding up and adding up. I did get a chance before we jumped on here to peruse the website a little bit and see some of the vehicles you had for sale. And, you know, I think as far as a price point is concerned, it seemed very approachable. It's not like, you know, honestly, it wasn't as expensive as I was expecting to see, which is cool. I think, you know, it's proof that you're not there for the profit necessarily. You're there to get people the service that they need so that they can live a fulfilling life and get to where they want to go.
Yeah, no, thanks for saying that. And, you know, I think the average price of a new vehicle today is about $45,000 to $50,000. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, the average price of a wheelchair accessible vehicle is more than that, but it's within, you know, a range more than that that's palatable for most people.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, if you're in a wheelchair, confined to a wheelchair, your chair itself, typically there's medical related expenses that are far greater than, you know, someone who is not in that situation. And so it creates sort of that extra, you know, I don't want to say burden, but that extra financial cost,
yeah,
right, to deal with it. So we're certainly sensitive to that. And listen, we are a company that has to make a profit. Like, we're not a not-for-profit, but we try to do it in a way that's fair, consistent, and with the highest level of integrity.
Right.
And that's something that's important to me. And so we use data for our pricing, and we try to be as fair as we can to give the value for the products that we offer. The other thing you have to remember is, you know, our clients are clients for life. I mean, very, very few people come out of a wheelchair.
Right.
Which is hard to think about, you know, but once you go into a wheelchair, the vast majority are in a wheelchair for the remaining days of their life. Mm-hmm. And they can be incredibly rewarding, like, remaining days, right?
Right.
And so some of the most inspirational, positive, happy people I've met are in this job, and they're paralyzed, mm-hmm, right? Or they have a disease state that prevents them from ever walking, or maybe ever using their arms and hands and legs again. And yet they still have this incredible outlook on life.
Right.
And the gratitude that they have is really, it's inspiring for sure.
Yeah. I would have to agree with that. It, just the people I've interviewed on this show and met through my time with MCPF, it is a different level of you know, I guess like inspiration. Yeah. It's hard to even imagine how I would be in their situation, and just hearing them with such high spirits is very, very moving. So my next question kind of has two elements to it. So one is, you know, when you're receiving all of this customer feedback about services or products or things that they would like to have or don't have yet or think could be improved, are there things that come through those feedback channels that you haven't been able to, I guess, provide yet? Where I'm thinking about this is it kind of also leads into the next question about how technology has really changed the game for you.
Yeah.
And that brought me to thinking about, you know, like even self-driving cars, things like that. I'm sure for a lot of these people, even the act of driving is something that they cannot do. And so they need to have a driver for the car. And so like, are there things that you're still not quite able to, you know, act on that you have plans or hopes to?
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of what does the future of technology in the space look like?
Yeah, no, it's like five really good questions wrapped up in one.
Yeah, sorry, no. I'm a very long-winded questioner today.
I'm going to try to take them maybe a bite at a time. And, you know, I'll step back and say, you know, when I first stepped into this industry, David, I wrongly assumed that I'd be dealing with, you know, a lot of elderly kind of chronic, polychronic clients, you know, 70, 80 plus. Mm-hmm. And that was wrong. And, you know, 50% of our clients are young. They're under the age of 50. I still view that as young. and, you know, so 50% of our clients are young people. And now there's more than 18,000 new spinal cord injuries every year. That number is probably even greater than that now. Mm-hmm. And many of those are young men.
Right.
Who result in these spinal cord injuries. And so as a result, you have a young, dynamic, very diverse client group that demands, you know, they demand technology, they demand innovation, and they deserve technology and innovation. So it's not this, you know, 70 to 80 year old group of individuals who are kind of, you know, happy with the way things are. You've got a very diverse group of clients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like to say disability knows no ethnicity, no age, no religion or political views. I mean, it is an equal opportunity like deal. And so like our clients range the entire spectrum, whether you're wealthy, whether you're struggling financially, like disability is an equal opportunity. And so as a result, we have a lot of clients in all of those categories. And so as a company that's built on inclusion and built on, you know, independence and helping people, we have to, it goes back to listening. Sure, there's been things that we've been asked to do that we just can't do either. They're not safe to do in the way you might alter a vehicle. We don't feel comfortable doing that. Mm. Many of our products require prescriptions, right? And so, you know, you just can't walk into a store and say, I want hand controls in my Ford Mustang.
Right.
Just for the fun of it, because I don't want to use my feet. It doesn't work that way, right?
Good.
And so, yes, exactly. But listen, I mean, the electronics of these vehicles are incredibly advanced. The modern automobile is as much software as it is hardware and components.
Without a doubt.
You see companies like Tesla Motors and other innovative OEMs who are really trying to approach automobile manufacturing from more of the tech background and the software design.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'll mention a couple. You know, autonomous driving will have a massive impact on this segment because a lot of people, they can't drive, but they want to go places, right? And so autonomous vehicles will be incredibly exciting. The caution I always give people is many, probably I would say most of our clients, they have a caretaker that is with them. So even if they have an autonomous vehicle, they still need someone to help them load, mm-hmm. you know, unload, you know, be there with them. So, but not all. There are many who would love to have a self-driving car or van or truck
right.
or SUV that could you know get them places without them having to be dependent upon a driver. So I think that's way down the future. I don't know if it's 10 years or or 8 years, but I don't think it's 0 to 5 personally.
Yep.
And then, you know, we talk a lot about EV. You know, we'll follow the OEMs as they convert to EV. We already do build a lot of wheelchair accessible vehicles on hybrid platforms and chassis, and we've even done some fully electric conversions for clients, especially in the commercial, kind of the large high roof commercial van space. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we'll continue to embrace those technologies and we'll continue to listen to our clients. You know, I mentioned the home accessibility. You know, it's not necessarily innovative, but, you know, that was an example of us taking feedback from our clients and saying, how can we help in the home?
Right.
You know, with an elevator or a vertical platform lift or a stair lift, and bringing some of that innovative design and the improved technology into people's homes as well.
Right. More than just the driveway. You exactly. want to be able to help them in all aspects of their living quarters.
So I think I think I got like most of those. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that was a perfectly good answer for my long-winded, complicated question that I gave you. So it does make me think, though, you know, one of the I'm a big car guy, always have loved, you know, reading about and driving new cars and things. And one of the things that I've always heard with this movement of EVs and just the this kind of commitment to EVs is that weight ends up playing a big issue with a lot of these chassis, a lot of the suspension units, you know, and I'm imagining a lot of the retrofitting that you guys do to vehicles is also quite heavy. And so, you know, does that bring even more complications to you know, adopting any sort of electric vehicle into your fleet? Kind of how does that work?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, range is a range fear or range. There's actually an industry term. It might be, we might call it range fear, but it's a real thing. And the more weight you add to the chassis, the less range you have on a single charge. And so, yes, the lifts, the ramps, the wheelchair itself, these are heavy pieces of equipment. And so it will have an impact. I think the OEMs are getting better and smarter about range and battery size and battery life and, you know, charging solutions. So I think we'll work through some of that. I mean, everything we've heard from the big auto makers is the EV is, you know, 2 years ago, you would have thought the whole country would be EV by now.
Right.
We're being told it's not being embraced as quickly as originally thought. And there's real infrastructure challenges with EV that are pretty well documented. And so I think we eventually get there. I don't know if it's ever 100%, but I think we eventually get, you know, much closer to that. But I think, again, we're still, you know, a handful of years away from that. I will say this, you know, this is kind of coming out of COVID. You know, we always did a lot our appointments and our needs analysis in person. And one of the things we learned, you know, just talking about technology, is embracing things like this, you know, a tablet to be able to do a virtual meeting with the client and a virtual needs analysis to where we spend a couple hours going through their exact measurements and their situation and their
routines,
their preferences,
yeah,
and all that. So, you know, that's something we weren't able to do. We didn't have the capabilities. You know, we now, as a result of some of that, you know, that COVID disruption, we now have the ability to do virtual appointments and virtual assessments and even sell and transact virtually without ever, you know, meeting with the client. And that's still not the majority of our transactions.
Right.
But, or our interactions with clients, but it's growing. And so I think just really embracing technology, you know, we used to bring all of our people together for these big meetings, right? And now we can get on a Zoom call and spend 30 minutes and then everyone can go back to their work and not have to travel, you know, all day or all evening. And so just embracing some of the technology, the tablets, the way we work, AI is a really big, important, emerging, you know, technology and innovation that everyone should be using, and we're using it and starting to use it more and understand it more. And so there's a lot of like technology and innovation that's not just our industry, but will be impacting positively, I think, a number of industries.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that kind of leads me to my last question for you today. And that's really, you know, what has you, you know, all excited for the future? Like what's got you jazzed up and what are you really looking forward to as it's coming down the way?
Yeah. So, I'm excited for, what we do to expand to more people and not just selfishly like, hey, we can grow our company, but I'm excited for more and more people to be able to be in a position where they can have, dignified, clean, transportation that they're proud of. Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things we're doing and our industry is doing and other, people in our industry are doing to expand that mission. But I'm most excited about helping people who need what we offer to get into a solution. And, you know, I share this story, and there's nothing wrong about commercial wheelchair transportation, but sometimes a van shows up that looks like a cargo van. There's no windows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're loaded in your wheelchair into the back and ratchet strapped down almost like a piece of equipment. And that's maybe for me, I think about in the feedback I get, not the most dignified, humane, like positive experience.
And yeah, so absolutely not.
When you see people able to get in their own vehicle, it's clean, you know, they can see through the windows and out the front, they can even drive. Like that's what gets me the most excited about our future. The autonomous driving and the electrification, all that's great. But, you know, for me, it comes back to how do we expand the affordability? Mm-hmm. How do we leverage organizations like the Bridge to Mobility? That's a nonprofit that helps people who need additional assistance bridge the gap financially to get into a vehicle. How do we expand that knowledge? And so many people don't know about it. And even a lot of people in chairs, they don't know about it. And so
Right. That's
part of my mission. And I hope, you know, the work that you're doing and the team is doing, you know, we will find a cure for this someday. I believe we will. But in the meantime, we're in the business of helping people be able to attend things like, you know, graduations and weddings and funerals and hospital visits and all those things that they want to do. So that's what gets me the most excited about this industry and this work.
Awesome. Well, I think it says a lot, not only about you, but about the organization. And I can't imagine another, you know, organization or activity that delivers individuality and, you know, gives people the ability to be autonomous again. And like, you know, that sense of just it's the sense of, the word is escaping me right now. Independence,
yeah.
I think is pretty much it. You know, just being able to be independent in how you act and what you do on a daily basis. I think that's something that all these people we've interviewed, I think that's been a huge point for all of them.
Yeah.
You know, I want my independence back. I haven't done anything on my own in X number of years or whatever it is. You know, some of Peter's stories are hilarious when he finally got, you know, his first 10 minutes alone, you know? So I think all of that is great.
Listen, you're absolutely right. And it's the pride of knowing I can do something on my own. And it's the things that you and I and many others take for granted every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of those things that after work today, I get to walk out and get in my car and drive home. And it's providing that same level of dignity and pride and confidence in people who, you know, maybe have a disease or had an accident. And that's really important. And, you know, Peter, I remember the first time I met Peter, I was like, you know, what an inspiring guy. I don't think he wants to be inspiring.
Right.
I don't think that's his mission. He's just a high energy, active, former athlete, like mm-hmm. just a smart, savvy, incredible human. And so you meet people like that and it's, you know, I think, boy, if they, with all of the adversity they've had in their life, can find a way to be positive and grateful, there's no excuse for me.
100%. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Listen, I appreciate the time, David. It's a great work you all are doing. And, you know, we're big fans of the fund and the foundation and, you know, my best to everyone over there.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that. And yeah, I mean, I think that covers all the questions we had. I do want to take a moment to encourage the audience to, you know, visit the description, and down there they'll find a link to Mobility Works so they can look a little bit more in detail about what it is you do and what you offer. And also at this time, I like to, you know, reach out to anybody who's watching us on YouTube. I would love a subscribe or a like. Otherwise, if you're on your favorite podcast platform, you could always give us a follow, and that's appreciated. But Brian, just want to thank you again for joining us. You know, the work that you do and your team does for this community is meaningful and essential to improving lives of those living with disabilities. And we couldn't be more grateful for all of that effort. So thanks again.
You got it. Take care. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian.